hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing great. I called my senators up earlier this morning and left them messages on their switchboards, Rubio and Scott, and about mandatory vaccines. And here's kind of what I told them. I kind of said, here's the deal, guys. Really? Are we Nazi Germany now? Do I hear the troops walking down the cobblestone streets of Berlin doing Sieg Heils? Are you really going to hold people down on gurneys and force them to do vaccinations or take their professional license away or their driver's licenses away? Are we really to that point in the United States, allowing these vaccine manufacturers have carte blanche immunity regardless of the damage they do? And I said, you guys say, oh, well, they're safe. They're not safe. How have you paid out $4 billion in vaccine compensation funds to the parents of the children who have been damaged from vaccines? Are you really going to force us? Are you going to take our livelihoods away? Are you really going to do this? Are we really going to go full-blown Gestapo? And that's the message I left. That is the message I left. And I told them my name, and I told them I lived in Auburndale, and I said, this is nuts that you guys are even discussing this. Blows my mind. I mean, guys, it's so important that all of you call 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, and you make them listen to you. I mean, you're probably going to get a recorder like I did, but the reality is, at least you can leave a long message and they can't hang up on you until about a minute in. Yeah. And they tell you that you're done. Guys, it's so important. Vaccine mandates are ignoring human rights and ignoring human informed consent. We have to get that. We have to realize. Even Senator Ron Paul basically favors liberty over vaccine mandates. And this list just goes on and on and on of what's happening. Another doctor says, you know, we don't live in Nazi Germany where medical procedures were done without consent. Guys, the Nuremberg trials passed the laws that you can't do medical procedures without consent. It's not okay. I mean, it's just not okay. You can't do that. You can't hold people down on gurneys and do stuff. It's bad enough here in the state of Florida with the DUI checkpoints, with these automatic, you know, subpoenas that these guys are, warrants these guys are getting from these judges when somebody gets stopped for a DUI, when they refuse to give blood and they're held down by force and have blood taken out of them. I mean, what the heck? Where have we gone? What has happened? Let me tell you where we've gone. Let me tell you why it's happened. Let me give you a little bit of information here that you guys need to understand who in the world the enemy is in all of this. Let's think through this for a second. Back in the Bolshevik Revolution, there was a guy by the name of Leon Trotsky. His real name was Lev Danovich Bronstein, okay? And this was back around 1917. And we have to remember, the slaughter of an entire Russian nation was the goal. 66 million, some people say, who died. And let me start with this because this is important that you understand this. Here's the famous quote from Leon Trotsky, okay? Here's what he said. We must turn Russia into a desert populated by white Negroes, upon whom we shall impose a tyranny such as the most terrible Eastern despots never dreamt of. The only difference is that this will be a left-wing tyranny, not a right-wing tyranny. It will be a red tyranny and not a white one. We mean the word red, literally, because we shall shed such floods of blood as will make all human losses suffered in the capitalist wars quake and pale by comparison. The biggest bankers across the ocean will work in the closest possible contact with us. This is the Rothschilds. We will win the revolution. We shall establish the power of Zionism upon the wreckage of the revolution's funeral, and we shall become a power before which the whole world will sink to its knees. We shall show what real power is. By means of terror and bloodbaths, we shall reduce the Russian intelligentsia to a state of complete stupefaction and idiocy to an animal existence. At the moment, our young men in their leather jackets, who are the sons of the watchmakers from Odessa, Orsha, Komel, Vidinska, know how to hate everything Russian. What pleasure they take in physically destroying the Russian intelligentsia, officers, academics, and writers. This is their goal. Now, I wanted to share that with you this morning. Karen sent me that quote. I'd read that several years ago. She sent it to me again this morning. And I wanted you guys to realize these are the same guys who went into Germany, who started the Frankfurt School to bring Germany under the boot of communism, who basically left Germany in 1933 and went to Columbia University and installed the Frankfurt School there and started basically pushing this white genocide in Columbia, at the Columbia University, and all things political correctness. This is the same group of people that we had the McCarthy hearings over, because they were infiltrating our Hollywood and our newspapers and our magazines. And now this infiltration is complete. Through the Rothschild banking cartel, they own 90-95% of everything that we own here in the United States. We're hundreds of trillions of dollars in debt to these guys based upon unfunded mandate liabilities, et cetera, et cetera. And all of this stuff, why? Because they want to reduce the population of the planet and basically bring in the Zionist One World, New World Order. You think, well, gosh, that sounds awful. And the sad part about it is the Christians have signed up for this. The Zionist Christians, they basically say, yay, 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 let's do it, let's lose that, let's do it. I mean, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. By the way, a billboard went up the other day, and it said, whites have rights. And there was an outrage over the billboard attacking Jesse Smollett and Representative John Lewis. This is a Pennsylvania billboard which has sparked outcry and accusations of racism, with the man who put it up insisted he's simply trying to strike up a conversation about race. I mean, think about it. Whites have rights. Whites have rights. I mean, what the heck? I mean, so whites have no rights anymore? Are we really going to be a country in which we are basically relegated to second-class citizenry, in which we basically have no rights at all anymore, that we can just be told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, because that's what the masters are telling us? Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. The problem with all of this stuff is that people don't understand, and you guys do, but most people don't, that, you know, this is a battle. In the greatest sense of the word, a real true battle, in that we have a group of people that are doing everything they possibly can to destroy the United States of America, to destroy our way of life, to destroy everything that we work for hundreds of years to produce in this country. This is what they're here for. They're here to destroy us. And through a thing called Gileadism, they've basically, basically taken a whole bunch of people in the United States and they've made them believe now that they have to endorse the rebuilding of the Third Temple, which is what their goal has been in all this, to bring in their Antichrist. I played this the other day on our show that we did last week, beginning of the week, but we deleted that one show because it had some corrected information on it. So I'm going to play this again for you. I want you to hear this one more time. Listen to this. This is John Hagee. Listen to this.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered?
So John Hayes, so what we're going to say here is that, you know, this is what's going on. You say, well, wow, Ted, that's just awful. I didn't hear that the other day. Well, I had deleted that show, so that little clip, it was no longer on that show, so I want to put it back out there for you guys. Guys, this is what this hardcore with millions of Christian Zionist movement want to do. They want to support this same group of people here that did this Russian revolution, this revolution by blood, and killed over 60 million Russians. Guys, this is nuts to me. I don't know what in the world we're thinking, why we're going to be an agent to our own destruction in this country, and why we aren't talking about this. And now, they want to have us basically forced to take vaccines against our will. I told them this morning when I left a message, I said, you know, why don't you guys give us clean vaccines? Why don't you remove the vaccine immunity against these manufacturers? Why don't you give us vaccines without squalene, without aluminum, without fetal human cells in them? Why don't you give us stuff like that without these compounds in them? I said, why are you going to force us to be taking compounds that you know cause problems based upon the vaccine payouts? So this is where we are, guys. This is turning into a real fight. I mean, think about it. What will you do if they come to your front door? Oh, but they're going to be more subtle than that, aren't they? This is going to take your driver's license away. They won't charge you for not taking a vaccine. They'll charge you for driving without a license. Or they'll charge you for practicing engineering or medicine or nursing or school teacher or whatever you have to be licensed for without a license. They'll do that. They'll take your livelihood away. Oh, how subtle they are. These people, this group, these communists, are like a snake in the grass. Okay? you know, if you're out on a white concrete driveway, big parking lot, and you see a black water moccasin in the middle of the concrete driveway, you're going to see it. You're going to know that you got a 6 foot long water moccasin, pit viper, rattlesnake, whatever you have in your area, laying out on the white concrete. You're going to see it, and you're going to think, probably need to get the shotgun out, probably need to get a stick out, probably need to get a rake out, need to get a shovel out, and we need to start doing some lopping off of the water moccasin or rattlesnake's head here real quick. Okay? But we see it. We see it coming. These things are like snakes in the grass. You get about 3 foot tall grass and you're walking through it here in Florida, you are asking to get snake bit, especially near water. I don't do it. We don't do it. If you've ever lived in Florida long enough, you know you either wear snake boots or you stay out of the deep grass, or you make sure that you got something with a shovel that you're poking in front of you to make sure there's nothing in it. Guys, that's what these guys are. Not only do they consider us to be a diseased, leprous, blood-dripping rat, they're snakes in the grass to try to sneak up behind us and do this to us. These are the communists. These are the groups of people that are supporting the nutbag Cortez. These are the ones that are running the Federal Reserve Bank. These are the ones that are basically doing everything they can to enslave every person in the United States and destroy our very way of life. Austin, what do you think?
Well, it was well said. And I mean, I called them up yesterday as well and said similar topic as well. You know, I made it more on the aspect of, I said, I'm not telling you guys I'm anti-vaccine. What I'm saying is I'm not pro-vaccine until you show me that you're going to produce a vaccine that doesn't have known neurotoxins in it. Aluminum is a neurotoxin. Mercury is a neurotoxin. Polyasorbate 80 is a neurotoxin. Squalene is a neurotoxin. Formaldehyde is a neurotoxin. I don't want neurotoxins injected into my body or my family's body, period. So come up with a vaccine. I mean, God, we're planning on going to Mars soon. We have autonomous vehicles. We have the fastest internet supposedly that's ever been in existence. But we can't produce a vaccine without putting aluminum and formaldehyde in it? Really? Are we supposed to believe that? Are we supposed to sit here and believe the only way to successfully make a vaccine is put 1,000-year-old chemicals and toxins and neurotoxins in here that have to be injected? And as Dad said, this mandate, I don't think they're going to come to your house. I don't think they're going to show up at your house at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. with a no-knock search warrant. The only way they'll start doing that is if they can use Child Protective Services as a cover to come in and seize your children because they're not vaccinated. They may do that. They may do that to try to force a lot of the parents into submission after they start seeing their neighbors get SWAT raided at 4 a.m. because their children are not kept compliant with vaccines. But then your next question is, when you see your neighbors get SWAT raided at 4 a.m. and their children taken from them in the middle of the night because they're not vaccinated, and you know you haven't vaccinated your children, what is your next plan? What is your next step you're taking? Just a question. I thought I'd throw that out there. This is something that has to be addressed, and you have to think about it, you have to contemplate it, and you have to plan for it before it ever happens. That is one thing that military strategy is incredibly effective at, is they plan for every single possible scenario before something happens. They don't sit and wait and say, we got totally sidelined by that. We had no idea they were going to come around and flank us. That completely caught us off guard. No idea they could have done that at all. No, they have 50 different areas that they're planning on. They have 50 different strategies that they're looking at, and they got 100 different contingency backup plans if something goes sideways. So they know exactly what's coming. Plan A didn't work, Plan B didn't work, Plan C didn't work. All right, guess what? Everything else, scrap, retreat, and go back to Plan Z, and we'll regroup from there. You have to know what you're going to do in a situation like that, and we are right on the cusp of reaching that point in the United States now, guys. I mean, when we have Senate hearings discussing this, and quite frankly, with all of our phone calls, I mean, they're probably going to have thousands of voicemails on their phone. I hope it shuts down their phones to the point where they have to reset them and reboot them, and they have to try to go through all the voicemails manually because we send them so many voicemails expressing our opinion. We have a right to do that. We have a constitutional right to express our opinion. Now, we don't have a right to threaten them, so I suggest nobody call them and say any threatening. Do not make any aggressive remarks. Ask them questions. That's what I always do. Ask questions. Nobody has the right to tell you you can't ask a question. Simple as that. Why are you still allowing our vaccines to be contaminated with aluminum, formaldehyde, and mercury? Question mark. Why do you think our children should have to be forcibly vaccinated with content in these vaccines like aborted fetal tissue and aluminum formaldehyde? Question mark. You cannot get mad at somebody for asking a question. Now, it's different if somebody starts making a threat, completely different, even under law. But when you ask a question, you can't get mad at somebody for asking a question. That's what we have to keep doing, is asking questions. Because when you ask questions, you spark answers. People start thinking about those questions, and they go, huh, that's a really good question. You know, I've really thought about vaccines before, but why do they have aluminum formaldehyde in them? And golly, I'm not pro-abortion. Why do they have aborted fetal cells in our vaccines? That seems kind of sadistic, quite frankly. They want to inject these back into our children. Questions that have to be brought up, and we have every right to do so. So I continue to remind everybody, contact your local representatives and let them know that this Senate hearing should go nowhere. The only place this Senate hearing needs to go is to a full 100% conclusion that mandated vaccines are anti-constitutional. And they are anti-human rights, and there is no business, there is no reason, and there is no possible way they will consider mandating these things into law. Also, too, in other news I saw, this would be very interesting, as we're starting to see the transgenderism being pushed into transhumanism, which is, we called this out a few years ago, the barriers of biology are slowly starting to be blurred. We have the whole thing that started off with gay marriage, and then we have the transgender, and now we have the post-birth abortion, and now we have men becoming women and men becoming women, men back and forth, and whatever you want to call this weird synopsis that we're starting to get into now. And now we're having the idea of a lot of individuals are starting to talk about the aspect of transhumanism and where we're going to go from here, and the debate surrounding a AI system and what rights it has. James Boyle published a paper for Brookings Institute years ago that stated in part, and I quote, "In the coming century, it is overwhelmingly likely that constitutional law will have to classify artificial created entities that have some but not all the attributes we associate with human beings. Why are we now discussing giving AI constitutional rights? This is even being endorsed by the church." As I saw here earlier, the Reverend Christopher Bennett, who's an associate pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Fort Lauderdale, that's down here in Florida, guys, Fort Lauderdale, stated in a recent essay, and I quote, "I'm not talking about iPhone Siri or Roomba vacuums or one of these toasters that can make you perfectly timed toast. I'm talking about autonomous creatures that have self-awareness, an AI that is very much like us, but exponentially more intelligent and can participate in Christ's redemptive purposes in the world to help make the world a better place." Are we starting to talk about building artificial intelligence systems to bring people to Christ? Okay, I mean, I guess that's a topic that has to get brought up. Are we now saying that these AI entities are going to go to heaven? Are we saying they have a soul? Is that what they're saying now? I don't know, but this is a line that's starting to be crossed, and the further we see this starting to come into light, it's becoming quite strange. Ilya Delao, a Catholic nun who runs the Omega Center, said the difficulty with the church is that technology, like everything else, runs on the principles of evolution. Evolution runs on the principles of greater complex, and that's what the church is resistant to. So now they're starting to bring evolution into the church, saying that human beings are evolutionary, which, I mean, I understand the aspect of, you know, things that, you know, the aspect of what we've seen with survival of the fittest. I agree with that. The evolutionary theory, that's total bunk. That's already been debunked. But now what we're seeing now is the gay agenda, the transgender agenda, the transhuman agenda, the Christian agenda, the Muslim agenda, they're all trying to be pushed into one big, giant melting pot so they can eventually come out with it. As I've said this for years, and so has Dad, a one-world religion and a one-world people. Because what they want to have is everybody is such a mestizo race, everybody's wrapped up in this biotech. There's all this transhumanism now where people are half machine, half man. They're already doing it in the military with DARPA. That there is no line anymore. Everything is blurred, so that way they can implement the ideology and have every thought of every man is evil all the time, just like it was in Genesis, guys. So be very reluctant to a lot of this AI stuff. I've brought this up many a times. I don't have any AI systems. I don't have autonomous Alexa. I don't have autonomous vehicles. I don't have automated anything. There's appliances, nothing. I don't buy them. I will put them in my house. I don't want them listening to me, period. There's no legitimate purpose to start giving up our privacy and our security for a little bit of convenience to have a refrigerator that tells us when our organic milk is getting low, we need to buy from the store, or when the AC system already detects that I know I'm about to say I want to drop the AC a little bit lower, and they drop it lower. These are things that seem really, really basic at the beginning and seem really convenient, and oh, those are perfectly fine. But as we already know, this all goes into the Internet of Things. They listen to everything. They monitor everything. They build an entire profile and everything. And some people say, well, I don't have anything to hide. Why do I care if my refrigerator listens to me? Why do I care if my dishwasher listens to me? People go, that's crazy. That's nuts. Now, you do the research on it. Pull it up online. You find out real quick this stuff spies on you. So that's not up for debate anymore. People go, I don't have anything to hide. Why do I care? Why do you care to have your entire private life spied upon, listened to, categorized, and put into a classified document that somebody can pull out at any time to figure out exactly what you do, what you eat, where you go, what you think, what you talk about at all point in time? That's because they want to have a giant database on everybody, because the only way to monitor and control the entire world population is to literally understand and know what everybody's thinking all the time and push it into the AI system. Hence why they're pushing transhumanism so hard. Hence why they're pushing this entire transgender so hard. Everything's trans lately. If you notice that, it's trans everything. They want to get rid of the soul that God gave us. They know that we're made in the image of God Almighty. They hate that. The globalists can't stand it, and they want to do everything they can to pervert it, including bringing in an AI interface into our bodies to make it more convenient and make us smarter and make everything better, or at least that's what they're alleging, Dad. So just thought I would bring that up, because I saw that earlier today. I thought it was pretty weird.
Well, there was another article that said AI will be billions of times smarter than humans, and man needs to merge with it, expert says. And here we go.
There you go.
Artificial intelligence could be billions of times smarter, and we need to be merged with it. Ian Pearson, a futurist at Futurizon, said there will be a need to be a link between the AI and a human brain. Elon Musk said last year that humans must merge with machines to not be irrelevant in the age of AI. Now, I'm going to say some things right now that are going to probably seem kind of weird to you, but let me ask yourself a question. You know, we know that Mars had a civilization on it before. You have to, like, not read anything not to understand that, with all the pictures of Mars and all the stuff that we've talked about with Mars, that Mars still has an atmosphere, which, by the way, they don't want you to know about. Not very thick, but it's still there. I mean, what happened to Mars? Where'd the civilization of Mars go? What about the asteroid belt? You know, that's, you know, if you were a few planets away, should have been as far as another planet. That's destroyed, too. How do we know this AI thing doesn't kind of just move around, you know, with the aid of Lucifer, because he's always mad about something, to different planets, to try to put this stuff on all of us? How do we know that it doesn't do this? I mean, how do we know that Lucifer's main plan isn't to install the AI, and this is how he runs around destroying God's creation? I don't know. The Bible's not real clear about it. He comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Well, you put AI on everybody. How do we know that this is not what happened before with the pyramids and all of the other technology from Atlantis? All of this stuff before, when God had enough. How do we know that when God's, you know, we know that there's a pre-Adamic race. We know that because of the fossilized records. And, you know, and we know that. I mean, theologians have talked about that for decades and for centuries. So what happened to the pre-Adamic race? Did they kill themselves with AI? What happened to them? I mean, think through all of this stuff. I mean, you've got to ask yourself these questions. See, finally, God had enough of it in Genesis chapter 6 and said, you know what, I'm just going to flush this mess. And he did. And he shut their whole systems down. And they've done everything they can for thousands of years now to rebuild this mess. And it's up to us. That's why Jesus was very clear about this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. I mean, think through this. I mean, think about the AI, what it's doing. You know, now they're coming out with robots. And basically, you know, these sex dolls that, you know, look like real people pretty much. And, you know, and you've got people wanting to have sex with robots. Why? Well, people have sex with robots, they don't reproduce. vaccines. You don't reproduce. When gays, unless you hire surrogates, you don't reproduce. Neither do you do a lesbian unless you find a sperm donor. I mean, you don't do that. Everything was to break down the family. The same group of people that I read about earlier who did the Russian Revolution, their goal was through the Frankfurt School to come over here and break down the family. And they gave us Gloria Steinem. They gave us all of the junk they gave us to break down nationalism. They gave us Playboy magazine. They gave us all this stuff to break down the family. Why? Because they want us to basically stop raising little Americans. Now, think through this with me for a second. Let's look at autism right now, autism rates. 1 in 40 children now, boys, in New Jersey have autism. You know, we have Stephanie Seneff from MIT says that by 2025, 2030, that half the population who has children, half the children will have autism. Let me ask you a question. If you have an autistic child, I can pretty much guarantee you, you don't want any more children. It's too much work. It takes 100 times more time to raise a child that has autism if you're really working with that child than it does a healthy child. I mean, I know the parents who have children who have autism. It's a major, major time and energy commitment, and most of them don't want any more kids after that. So if half the children end up having autism that are born, who's going to even want to take a chance with a 50-50 dice roll that they're going to have an autistic child? You know what's going to do to the population of the planet, the population of the United States, when autism's 1 and 2? The population's going to collapse. And then what's also going to collapse is the fact that you're going to have tens of millions of children now that are going to have to be institutionalized to become wards of the state when their parents die. So all of this is being done to us on purpose. That's why they say, well, we don't know what's causing autism. Sure they do. I know what causes autism. You know, we've got the massive immunizations, the vaccines, we've got the glyphosate, we've got the chemicals in the food supply and the water supply. All of this stuff works together to cause autism. They know that. Gosh, I'm a biochemist, went to Florida State. They've got biochemists that went to Florida State, went to Harvard and everywhere else that worked for them, and they know exactly what's causing it. But remember, because they control the media, the people who come out and talk about the real reasons of autism or the real reasons of cancer or the real reasons of heart disease or the real reasons of adult onset diabetes like high fructose corn syrup, they're quickly silenced and said, you're irrelevant. You don't mean anything and you're absolutely nuts. So you need to merge with the AI and just shut up. Well, this is the goal they're trying to do right now. Right now in England, doctors that are opposed, doctors expressing cholesterol myths and talking about exposing the cholesterol myths about what a lie it is, are accused of murder in the British press for questioning statin drugs. They're being told they're murderers. You know, cardiologist Dr. Asim Marola told the European Parliament last year, exposing corruption of big food and big pharma, the proposed dietary approach. Now they're saying he's a murderer. There's a media war going on in the UK involving the use of the cholesterol drug or lowering drug statins. There's not a media war here because they just don't allow it to go on the media. The media, Daily Mail's health editor, Barney Calum, labeled two medical doctors and a PhD nutritionist as statin deniers. We couldn't be an anti-Semite or a Holocaust denier. Now we're a statin denier. Unbelievable. For their efforts in educating the public and debunking the cholesterol disease heart causation dogma while exposing statin drug makers. The two doctors are Malcolm Kendrick, Dr. Asim Marolta. The nutritionist is Zoe Harkin, PhD. The Daily Mail is blaming their propaganda as convincing people to stop taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, which they claim are leading more people to suffer heart attacks as a result. And they're right. Statin drugs cause hardening of the arteries. Did you know that? I'm going to let you know that real quick. Statin drugs cause, in many cases, skeletal muscle necrosis, which causes kidney failure. They also cause liver failure, liver damage. And statin drugs all have one really, really good side effect. They all cause cancer. I told you yesterday, a few days ago, how to lower cholesterol, just doing 20 or 30 points within a few weeks by changing your diet. It's easy to lower cholesterol. Cholesterol is easy to manipulate it. I personally eat eggs all the time. I've eaten 2 dozen eggs this week. So you've eaten 2 dozen eggs this week? Yeah, I want my cholesterol up higher. I want my brain working. Your brain's made of fat, primarily fat. If you don't have fat, your brain quits working. It goes to mush. You gotta have cholesterol in your diet. I mean, you gotta have eggs. You gotta have all of these things. You have to have MCT oil, the coconut oil that we have in the office. You gotta have cod liver oil. I put black seed oil. I put all these essential fats in my life. These are pure fats. And along with the eggs. And you say, well, doesn't that affect your cholesterol and your health? Yeah, it makes it better. It makes my testosterone higher. It makes me think more clearly. How about that? So these doctors that are exposing statin drugs for what they are telling you the truth. and my book, Breakthrough Health, I list that statin drugs as the number one cause of disease and death in the United States. Statin drugs, because of the death rates associated with them, need to be completely pulled off the market, and these manufacturers of statin drugs need to be sued back into the Stone Age for what they've done. Guys, this is a drug that nobody should be on. Now, somebody says to me, well, how do you really feel about statins? I think I just told you. I don't know how to be any more clear than that. You say, well, that sounds awful. Bias against statins. Yeah, how about that? I dislike statins almost as much as I dislike vaccinations. This disease, heavy metal-laden trash they're putting into us. I mean, think about this right now. Right now in the United States, we're working on chicken flu. I mean, how to produce it. Our own government is quietly funding the bird flu research that could end up killing us. Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding you. These boys like to do this over here at, in their different little biotechnical laboratories around the world. Back in 2014, due to safety concerns, the government suspended dangerous research that could make the bird flu virus more easily transmitted to humans. It was a wise decision, but certainly, unfortunately, short-lived. In February, Science Magazine revealed a troubling discovery. Last year, the U.S. government review panel decided to let the research resume, and they actually wanted the scientists to figure out how to make avian flu more deadly and more effective at killing us. I mean, do they want a pandemic? Because this is how it looks like you start a pandemic. I mean, think about this. Two research teams in Wisconsin and the Netherlands have been told by the Department of Health and Human Services that their work is eligible for research funding from the United States government. The Wisconsin group was notified in October and the Dutch group in January. Despite requests from the New York Times on Thursday and Friday, officials from the HHS did not explain why they had announced their decisions on the two labs on the time they did. Spokesperson for the HHS and National Institutes for Health said the decision to lift the moratorium had already been announced in December 2017. In other words, they want to make a bird flu so horrible and so debilitating it can wipe out the population of the planet. I guess they just want to do it for fun. I mean, I don't understand why they're doing this. I mean, why would you even take a chance of making something so extremely dangerous that it can kill the entire population of the planet or massively reduce? Oh, that's right. Why did I say that? Well, because they're trying to turn bird flu into human flu. They're trying to reduce the population of the planet. Remember, the white girls over there in Europe yesterday, we did a show on this, are basically saying they're not going to have sex with their husbands or their boyfriends or ever again with men, I guess, a bunch of lesbians, I guess, because they don't want to have any more babies. And they don't want to have the population of the planet. See, once you see, here's a little thing. They're coming, they want this carbon tax, this carbon allotment per human life form. What does that mean? That means you're born and you're given a certain carbon quota as far as your carbon dioxide that you breathe out. In other words, you can breathe out so much carbon dioxide. Now, forget the fact that plants have to have it or they die. Forget that, okay? We got to remember that because this is a balance that we have on our ecosystem called planet Earth. But forget that. We have to pretend like plants don't use carbon dioxide. So you're given a carbon quota. This is what they're going for right now. Listen to me for a second. So once you – remember that one movie, I forgot, it was with Justin Timberlake, and it was called Time or Time Ran Out. What was it called, Austin? Do you remember?
It was the one where they had
that. Yeah, it was end time with that little stamp on their arm.
Yeah.
Well, what that's going to do, what they're going to do, and this is my opinion, this is where they're headed for this, and you say, well, this will never happen in our lifetime. Nah, it probably won't, but it probably might in 100 years when they get this stuff implemented. They're going to give you a little stamp that says you have X amount of millions of carbon units that you can produce. And guess what, boys and girls? When you get to the age where you now are getting close to your carbon limit as far as putting out, unless you start buying additional carbon stuff from other people and other groups or whatever, they're going to send the eugenics truck for you. Now, you heard what I just said. They're going to come in with their little needles and their little mask, and they're going to say, your carbon footprint has exceeded your limits, and it's time for you to go bye-bye. And they're going to put a little mask on you and gas you, and you're going to be dead, and then you'll be recycled as soybean green or some other food product, or you become human fertilizer, and that'll be the end of you. If you understand that they see you as a diseased, leprous rat covered in boils and sores walking across the field that somebody needs to shoot, and that basically you're dripping blood with every step you take, that's how they see you, why would they not want to reduce the population of that thing that's walking in the field? Oh, that's right. They do want to reduce the population because they see us as soulless creatures that have no redeemable value. That's how they look at us. You say, well, that's awful. We don't look at people like that. Well, no, we don't. We're Christians. We're taught to love one another, to respect one another, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The greatest commandment we have is love. Ah, but see, what they do is they see that as our weakness. They see that as our weakness because of love, we refuse to accept the nasty things about them or what they're willing to do. And now they've brought political correctness into the fray where, hey, you have white privilege. You're a white boy. Okay, yeah, well, I was born white. I'm happy I'm white. Oh, you can't be. You got to be ashamed. But if I was black, I'd be happy I was black too. No. We don't want whites. We don't want blacks. We don't want Hispanics. No, you're not allowed to be those things. That's nationalism, and you can't be that way. We want a mestizo race. So nobody has a nationality. Nobody has any pride in their ethnicity. Nobody. And you'll take your shots, and you'll shut up, and you'll do what we tell you to do. And when your carbon stamp is time, you will be stamped out and be done. But I don't want to be stamped out. We don't care. You read what we did in Russia. You read what we did. Find out what we do. Find out what Trotsky said. Find out what he said. That's what we shall do, subject you to this type of tyranny. Guys, look around. The United States Senate right now is in debate on whether they're going to forcibly you to take toxic vaccines and put them into your body, to inject them into you. We are talking about Nazi concentration camps, experimentation on human beings in a massive, massive scale, and they want you to have no rights. No rights. It's not okay, guys. None of this is okay. But little by little, as the frog gets boiled in the pot, we accept it. Because we believe that their conditions that they're doing to us and what they're saying to us can't have nefarious implications because we're not nefarious. They can't be lying to us because we don't lie. They can't be doing things for their father Lucifer because our father is Yahweh, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, who came and taught us to walk in love. So they can't be bad people. Guys, they ain't Christians. Newsflash. They're not born again. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They trace their lineage and their prodigy all the way back to Lucifer himself. These are not good people. They're sociopaths. They don't care if they kill you, me, and everybody on the planet. They don't care. It's not something that bothers them, unlike it would bother us. Understand who your enemy is. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, there's no question about it, and that's why they're trying to bring everything in with this cashless society right now. They're trying to get everybody okay with submitting essentially to the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger deep state, the IRS coming in, all these different entities that are slowly encroaching. Because notice, they didn't just do this overnight. This isn't something that just started yesterday. They're like, oh yeah, by the way, you got to do all this now. We're forcibly mandating vaccines. You're not allowed to make any money. We're doing a 70% income tax. You're not allowed to drive vehicles. Not on the fly. They're not doing all that yet. They're slowly pushing it in. Here's an article that I saw the other day from NBC. I thought it was interesting because we've constantly seen this trend going, and it's popping up again now. Here's the article that came up. It said, there's been a mysterious surge in U.S. $100 bills in circulation that is more than likely linked to global corruption. The number of $100 bills in circulation has skyrocketed in the past decade, allegedly. I would like to say that is directly contributed to quantitative easing and the $85 billion that we were pumping into the market. And, oh yeah, don't forget, I think, didn't Obama give like $150 billion in cash to Iran a while back ago? Yes, there's been some cash floating around. Anyways, Nicholas Kolis, co-founder of DataTrack Research, who he likes to essentially monitor everything that everybody does, he said, there's certainly enough evidence to say it's an enabler of corruption. The number of outstanding U.S. $100 bills has doubled since the financial crisis, more than 12 billion of them across the world, according to the latest data from the Federal Reserve. It has now passed $1 bills in circulation. They go on to say that high-denomination, high-value currency notes have historically been the preferred form of payment for all criminals. It has nothing to do with the U.S. economy, he says, and nothing to do with interest rates. There's certainly enough evidence to say it is the enabler of corruption, and it's also a way for people to keep assets outside of the financial system in a kind of bulky way. Research paper from last year from Federal Reserve Bank Chicago estimates that almost 80% of all $100 bills are now overseas. I wonder why. There have been pressure to get rid of high denomination notes to curb international crime. There, Lauren Summers, former Treasury Secretary, had a letter that he wrote arguing to abolish the $100 bills. He said, "It's time to kill the $100 bill," was the title of his article in the Washington Post. He said, "A banning on printing new high denomination notes would make the world a better place. By eliminating high denomination, high value notes, we'd make life harder for those pursuing tax evasion, financial crime, terrorist finance, and corruption." Well, anyway, since that article and its rhetoric is over with, this is essentially about one big giant pile of hog poop. That's essentially what that is. They're telling everybody this, and they've been spewing this rhetoric for years on years and years now, because they want to prevent the population from being able to buy and travel freely unmolested on your way. How in the world are you go out, and how are you supposed to go buy a nice $5,000 or $10,000 vehicle if they take us down to $10 bills? What are you gonna do? Bring giant duffel bag full of $10 bills for a purchase of $10,000. That's what they're planning on doing. You guys already know, I've told you about this before, about my friend who tried to pull cash. He's a contractor, tried to pull cash out of his account for a bunch of material build, and they told him, you know, I think he was trying to pull like $15,000 in cash. And they said, "Okay, we can do that, but you have to fill out this paperwork." And he goes, what paperwork? "I just need $15,000 in cash. You obviously see I have plenty of money in the account. We build a bunch of contract homes." And they said, "Well, yeah, that's fine. We have the cash, but you have to fill this out. You have to disclose to IRS what you're doing with the money." And he goes, No. You're confused. "I'm not trying to deposit $15,000, ma'am. I'm trying to take out $15,000 in cash." And she goes, "That's fine. You can do that. But you have to disclose what you're doing with your money so IRS knows why you need your money out of our bank." And he basically pitched a fit. Essentially, the cap is $10,000. If it hits $10,001, you have to fill out this paperwork. So he pulled out less than the amount and left, pitched a fit, and was not allowed to take the amount of cash that he wanted to do unless he wanted to disclose it. He said, "Pull a big form. Big form. This is all you need to fill out here." He goes, "Phil, why do I have to give you a reason that I want my cash to purchase material for my jobs?" It's a concept that a lot of people have eluded them, and they don't understand this. This is where it's headed. The next thing they'll do next, and they've already done this in many European countries now, is limit the amount of money you can pull out. In a lot of countries, you can't pull out more than $5,000. Some of them, it's a $1,000 cap. You can't pull out more than $1,000 at a time. And a lot of them now, they've already worked on trying to get rid of the $500 euro note. That's already in the process of being phased out. And so they're trying to do this globally to push everybody in to the digital currency, as we've seen with Bitcoin, as we've seen with the smartphone apps now that you pay with your phones. Credit cards are even going out the window now. They don't even want people to use those. The goal is to have some type of chip, some type of marker, some type of thing on your person that they're going to say is super safe. Nobody can hack. You're the only one with access to it, and you can pay for everything you need with that simple little chip, and you don't have to worry about the nasty things of cash any longer. That is why they've demonized cash for years now, even though why they send tens of billions of dollars to other country and foreign aid in cash in some instances. They want to tell the American population, you don't need cash because it's for your safety and protection, Dad.
Austin, you're absolutely right. And the sad part about it is until we get the pulpit to start talking against this stuff,
yep,
it's not gonna happen, not with Christians. I mean, Christians bless their hearts, and I'm a Christian, you know. But I've got so many friends. Yesterday, this is an interesting story. I'm over in Lake Alfred. I'm getting a haircut. A guy by the name of Carlos cuts my hair. Does a great job. He's from Honduras. He immigrated legally into the United States. Great guy. Great barber. Does a great job. Has Christian music playing in his shop. Great guy. If you have to have your hair cut, go to the Carlos's barbershop in Lake Alfred, Florida. So there you go. And it was so funny. I'm sitting in there, and a guy drives in a dually, and basically he doesn't. You know, he's got his tight parking lot, and so he came in. I started laughing, and I said, "But I used to have a dually." I said, "Those things are hard to park. You almost have to take two spots out in the middle of nowhere because they're just too wide." He goes, "Yeah, they're right. It's rough to do." Well, little by little, he and I start talking about. I'm getting my hair cut, and he's waiting, and I start talking to him a little bit about politics, and he starts talking about Rand Paul, and he starts talking about Trump, and he starts talking about how Hillary got off scot-free, and finally we're just talking, and we ended up. I showed him some links, and finally I told him, I said, "If you don't really want to know why I do all this. I know so much about this stuff as I do a national talk show every single day. He goes, what's your name? And he goes, Ted Brower. And he goes, oh, my best, one of my best friends, Brad Parton, has given me your links. I listened to your show. And I started laughing and I said, wow, thank you guys. Thank you, Brad. See, this is the thing. You know, if we all are willing to do that, here I am on a one-on-one basis trying to get people to understand what's going on. I talk to millions of you guys every month on the radio, but it's just, this is what's in me. We have to have that deep-seated conviction, and the problem is the pastors don't have that. Now, Charisma Magazine, actually, it came out with an article that says, 7 reasons pastors stay silent in our wicked culture. I'm going to read you a few of these things here to talk about. Number one, their fear of man. They're scared that they're going to get in trouble and somebody's going to say something bad, or they're going to be muzzled because they're going to have some group. Maybe they're going to have a Masonic leader in the church. Maybe they're going to have a Masonic leader who basically gives a lot of money. Maybe they've got a Masonic leader who's got a bunch of Masonic friends in the church, and you know they're low-level Masons, and they really don't know what the high-level Masons are talking about, and they really don't want to talk about this. I remember one time Pastor Carl Strader, it was at Carpenter's Home Church, was promoting basically the Shriners hospitals in the Shriners, as people that were basically God-fearing people who gave money and helped children, blah, blah, blah. I'm actually promoting them from the pulpit. Now, these are Masons. And, you know, and he got so much backlash, and sooner or later, this church ended up splitting, not necessarily over that topic, and the church is bulldozed and gone now. It's the compromise. It's the fear of man. Sometimes it's fear of loss. They're afraid they're going to have people leave. They're going to have giving units leave, and they're going to basically not give them any money anymore. They're not going to pay the bills. This is one of the other things let me share with you. I don't believe a church should expand and have large plant and equipment as far as properties and assets unless they have money to pay for it. I'm talking cash. I'm talking about you're meeting in a rental place. You save up the money with the church. You buy a piece of property. You save up the money with the church. You frame in it. You dry in a doggone facility. You save up the money, and you finish paying for the property in cash. Why? It's not fair to the people in the church to saddle them with debt. Years ago, I'll never forget, I had a friend of mine who started going to a church that had just been completed, and they were having cash flow problems. And my friend was wealthy. And I remember he told me, he said, I was in the pulpit one day. I'm not in the pulpit. He said, I was in the audience one day, and I was listening to the pastor. And the pastor called me out in front of everybody and told me that there was a person in the church who could pay off the property and basically make the church debt-free, and that they weren't doing it. And my friend left the church and never came back. Why? And I asked my friend, well, why that? He says, Ted, I wasn't there when they built the church. I wasn't there to vote on any of this stuff. He goes, if I had voted to build the church, I wouldn't have had a problem helping pay it off. He goes, they should have thought about all that before I showed up. They said, all they've done is run me off and I'll never go back. Guys, this is the kind of stuff that happens because they have no ability. They're scared of man. They're scared they're going to leave. A lot of pastors have no prayer life. They have no prophetic unction. They don't pray. They don't try to be led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, they just want to sit around and watch TV all day. I mean, I know pastors who won't even have office hours. They won't do any counseling. They don't want to go visit in hospitals. They want to preach once a week and then get paid and spend the rest of the time at Disney World. And yes, I know these people. I know of them just like this, who basically get depressed because they don't like being a pastor. And you're like, what the heck? Why are they a pastor? I don't know. Maybe they couldn't do anything else. You know, I tell you what. When I was a kid, let's stop for a second. When I was a kid, I remember we had to work. When I was 8 years old, my parents had gotten divorced. My mom was suffering post-traumatic stress syndrome from the war. My dad and her didn't get along. So I was like 5 years old, and they split. They were like in 1960. I was like 5. By the time 1963 rolled around, we had a bunch of fish camp cottages that had to have maintenance done on them, and I learned how to paint. I learned how to paint. I learned how to roof. I learned how to shingle. When I was 11, 12 years old, we had a friend of one of the people living in one of the cottages ran a crew that was basically a citrus harvester, and I went out and I actually harvested citrus. I actually picked fruit, and you know, and it was $3.50 for a 10 box tub. This is hard work, by the way. And I worked myself, I mean, I worked hard. I had to mow 2 acres of property with a 20-inch push mower. I did all the maintenance. I mean, I literally took the place of my father when I was 8 years old, and I had to work. See, people say, well, that sounds awful. No, it wasn't awful. It was very, very important that I did that. Why? I know what a hard day's work is. I've dug many a ditches. I've shingled many a house. I've hung a lot of sheetrock. I've done a lot of framing. I can fix. You can ask Austin. I can fix almost anything, and I can do it right. I mean, everything to me is just really simple because I did so much of it. I was repairing lock sets and combination sets and all kinds of stuff. You know, when I was a kid on the cottages with skeleton locks, I mean, I learned how to disassemble all those things. Like I was like 8 years old and repair them all. I learned how to build screens, all of this stuff when I was like 8, 10 years old. You say, well, that seems really like you were having to be worked like a child slave. Well, pretty much. That's about right. But it didn't bother me. Here's why. I look back on that, and what it did, it made me realize what I didn't want to do. It made me realize that I wanted to do something different with my life. It made me want to stay in college and work to do something different, to be a professional. That's what it made me want to do. Now, is there anything wrong with framing? No, I like framing. I used to have a framing gun. I love framing. Framing with guns are a lot easier than hammers. I love doing finished carpentry. I love painting. I actually like painting. I actually enjoy painting. I mean, I do that. Now, sheetrock, I can hang it. Not real good at finishing it because I never did a lot of the finishing. Shingles, I can do all that. Don't like shingles too much on the knees at this age. And plus, we had to carry the 80, 90-pound bundles up the ladder back then. I mean, didn't care for that at all. So a lot of things I liked doing, a lot of things I didn't do. I also worked as a mud helper, mud man, as far as with the Mason crew. And they were block layers, not like Masonic, but like block layers. And I was, you know, I did that. Now, that was a very hard job in the hot Florida sun. So I've done all of that stuff. So these pastors are sometimes, they don't want to work hard. They don't want to do things. They just want to be just chilling out. And they don't really have a calling to be a pastor, so they just do whatever they can do to get by. You know, they have the ability to gab or whatever. And then they don't want to do what they need to do as a pastor. A pastor is going to be a true tender of their flock. They're going to tell the people the truth. The Bible says that if you love somebody, a true friend will tell you the truth. Pastors don't want to do that in many cases because they don't want to lose their giving units and lose their lifestyle. I knew a guy basically who stayed and became a pastor, and he never took Social Security out of his paychecks, and finally he quit the pastorship, went and got a job so he could get his 2 or 3 years of Social Security in so he could retire. I mean, he had no calling on his life whatsoever. All he wanted to do was do the time and not do the hard work. I've seen it all, guys. Now, on the other hand, there are pastors that are dedicated. There are pastors that are so dedicated they die young because they burn themselves out running both ends. They work in 80, 90 hours a week. That's no good either. Not to be it. Not to do it. Number four, they misunderstand the government purpose of the church as to what the church is supposed to be for. And they confuse Romans. They want to stay out of politics, which is ridiculous. It should be the middle of politics. They just want to preach the Bible. They don't want to talk about anything else that's going on publicly. They don't want to talk about vaccines. They don't want to do that. Number seven, they use wrong theologies in the culture of positivity. In other words, everything's happy, happy, happy. God loves you. God's madly in love with you, which he is, and he wants to bless you, which he does. And that's it. And they change that. That's where they stop. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about paying your bills. They don't talk about what kind of relationship you're supposed to have with God, or how you're supposed to be in prayer and read the Word. They don't talk about any of that stuff. It's just happy, happy, happy. And I don't have to mention the names. You guys know the names of the pastors that do this. And it's like a big cheerleading section every Sunday, and they don't really get into the real meat of what's going on politically. Why? Because people don't want to hear about it. They just want to be there and be motivated like they're going to a Zig Ziglar convention. Guys, it's so important to understand that positive speaking and positive conventions and positive stuff are great. But guys, after you have leapt about and jumped about and rejoiced a bit, there are things that have to be done. You can't pretend like they're not there. Oh, well, that's my little sermonette of the day. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you so much. You guys are awesome. Please call your senators. I mean, call them and raise Cain. In fact, I'm going to send this to Doug and Joe tonight, see if they can give out that phone number on the show tonight on Hagman and Hagman. We've got to get this information to the senators. There can't be any doubt that we don't want medical tyranny in our country. Guys, thank you for the opportunity of praying for you today. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. And all you guys who send me texts and never-ending texts and emails, thank you for your support. Thank you for caring about me. But please try to keep the texts to a minimum sometimes, because I get overwhelmed. I mean, you get like hundreds of these things a day. I can't do everything. So, guys, I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for getting your vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting us. If you didn't do that, I couldn't be here for you. I appreciate you. God bless you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely, guys. Thank you so much. Also, too, one health article that I wanted to close on here. I've been getting a lot of emails on ashwagandha. Yes, we do carry it in two different products, including our thyroid support and our cortisol buster. Helps out with mood. It also helps out with healthy thyroid. But the reason why is because a lot more people are having issues with thyroid problems, I think, because a lot of the bromine in the bread, the chlorine and fluorine in the water, these are starting to become more and more issues, and a lot of people don't know what to do. So they go to their doctor, their levels are a little off, and their doctors immediately put them on some type of thyroid medication, which in most cases causes a lot of problems, including hair loss. Well, in 2017, Indian researchers conducted an experiment with 50 participants. All patients displayed abnormal levels of thyroid hormones. None of them had taken any previous treatment for their condition. Bloods were sampled from each patient before the start of the study. The samples were analyzed for the amount of thyroid hormone they contained. The patients received either ashwagandha root or placebo. Both the root and the placebo were taken twice a day. Treatment lasted for 8 weeks. At the end of the period, the researchers took a new batch of blood samples from participants for evaluation and comparison. Participants who received ashwagandha root displayed much better levels of thyroid hormone at the end of the study. The T3, T4, and thyroid stimulating hormone, the TSH, in their blood had returned to normal concentrations. That is why we use Ultimate Pure Ashwagandha in our thyroid support. I've seen a lot of people that have issues with thyroid. The thyroid support that we carry, we put together this formula years ago, all the way from iodine to zinc to selenium to the Guggenheim extract, which is very strong as well. That's another one that a lot of people don't realize, and ashwagandha in this formula. Very effective formula, and it's also something that's used, and I've used this personally whenever I've been getting ready to diet down for a show back when I used to compete, or simply now, if I'm just going to the beach for the summer and I'm getting back in shape and I need to get back down to about 190, 192, really leaned out, I'll run the thyroid support for about 4 to 6 weeks while I'm dieting really heavily. And what it does is it increases the effectiveness of the thyroid as far as its ability to burn body fat. It's something you don't really need all the time if you have a healthy thyroid, but it can help burn body fat when you have a healthy thyroid, or it can really help get your thyroid back into a healthy range, which can, of course, get your body fat and your body composition levels back into range as well. So just something I wanted to bring up is I've gotten a lot of emails on thyroid health in the last week or so. So I try to address those sometimes because it's easier than answering a ton of emails on the same topic. I like to answer them over the show. It makes it a lot more efficient for me. Also, too, if you guys saw the probiotic 350 billion one product of the week, fresh batch that we have in was manufactured, I think, in the fall of last year. So, I mean, it's a really, really fresh batch on there, on sale for over 12%. Off. This is by far the strongest probiotic you will find anywhere. This is a assay tested, completely and totally guaranteed. It's actually 650 billion CFU when it is packaged. And like I said, this was packaged the fall of last year. I think September it was, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a really, really strong formula, but it's guaranteed minimum 350 billion CFU at time of expiration. So that's why we do it to that, because we want to make sure our numbers can never be questioned. If anything's ever tested, people are 100% assured and satisfied that they are getting as much, if not more, of what they're trying to get. So the probiotic is incredibly important for gut health, for digestion, for nutrient absorption, for immune system. You can read about it on the website, but it's a very, very strong formula. If you ever wanted a probiotic and you wanted to do the best there was, this formula is it, on sale for 12% off right now. So be sure to check that out on Product of the Week and vote for the other products that are also available to vote on as well. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. Healthmasters.com. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.